What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, 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 yo. Hey, guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It is the beginning of another week. It is Monday. Hope your weekend was a great one. And like every Monday, we do something called Metric Mondays, a little bite-sized piece of information around a metric in your practice that can greatly improve your practice and your life. And would you like to see a number that would show how much diagnosed care is turning into real dentistry in your practice? Well, there's a number, and we're going to talk about it today. It's called treatment dollar amount acceptance percentage. That's a mouthful. And that's a big one. And that's why I have my amazing co-star, Miranda Beeson, on today to show you how it works, what it is, why it's important to your practice, and what to do about it. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. It is Monday. I hope you had an amazing weekend. You're rested, recharged, and you're ready to go. And you're listening to the podcast on your drive in. And you know what? Our job every Monday is to bring you something called Metric Mondays, a little bite-sized piece of information. If you use it well, it will improve your practice and your life. And I have my amazing co-star on today. Her name is Miranda Beeson. She's a brilliant coach, member of our leadership team, and she's also the director of education. You're going to see she's a smart one here. And she's going to lead us on this journey. So, Miranda, where are we going today?
Hey, Kirk, I'm so glad to be back for Metric Monday. We're going to tackle a metric that ties in pretty closely with the one we did last week, which is treatment dollar amount acceptance percentage. That's a mouthful, but we'll come back around to explaining exactly what that is. So last week we talked about doesn't matter how much you diagnose if people aren't saying yes. And so this time around, instead of patient acceptance, we're talking about a little more granular, what's the treatment dollar amount acceptance percentage? And what we're measuring with this metric is the percentage of the total treatment dollars presented over a given period of time that people move forward with by way of scheduling in that same day. So for example, if a patient is presented with four crowns with a buildup and they're, you know, averaging out $2,000 a piece, that's an $8,000 treatment plan, right? Four crowns at $2,000, that's an $8,000 treatment plan. If they schedule one tooth and move forward with at least one of those crowns, that's going to be 100% patient acceptance, that metric we talked about last week. But this gets more granular because if we look at the dollar amount acceptance percentage, it's actually 25% because they scheduled 2,000 of the $8,000 treatment plan. So if we take this even bigger, if you're looking at your data monthly, if in 1 month you present $100,000 worth of treatment and 30,000 of that ends up scheduled, then you're looking at 30% dollar amount treatment acceptance percentage. And if we're treatment planning $100,000 worth of treatment and 30,000 gets scheduled, we have a significant amount of treatment that's just sitting out there kind of waiting. And so that's why this one is so good to look at, to be able to say, you know, are we doing enough with enough? So it's great to say I'm at 100%. That's wonderful. But what could it have been if we got an even larger dollar amount accepted from those treatment plans that we're putting forward? So yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about how those impact the practice and what you can do to make a difference.
Okay, one of the nuances here, and you said same day. Okay, so I get this question all the time. You do too, is, well, I presented the treatment plan, but it was like 2 weeks ago. And then the patient thought about it and they called back. And so can you just speak to why the same day is important and how it relates to that question?
Totally. So, well, number one, it's if you're using analytics platform, more than likely that's how they're measuring acceptance is if that code that was set as a treatment planned procedure code that day also then becomes attached to a scheduled appointment. That's how the software is going to track and say, yes, someone said yes to this much and, you know, of that particular recommendation. Now, we also talked on the last podcast about the fact that sometimes people don't have dental analytics software. And so therefore they might be tracking this manually. You have a little more flexibility to say if it was same day or, you know, if they called back the next day. I want to highlight like why it's important in the moment to try to get people to say yes. But let me also first say this, everything that we talk about in coaching, and this is why I love being a coach, is that everything's so customizable. If you're in a practice where you do some bread and butter, but you also do a lot of big, large treatment presentations, comprehensive cases, implant cases, things like that, you might have two separate tracking systems to measure patient acceptance because it might take someone a lot longer to say yes to $60,000 than it does for someone to say yes to a single crown. So you can customize when you understand these metrics, you can customize like that time frame that you're referencing under. Now, if we go back to just general benchmarks and this same day scheduling concept, there is some psychology to the fact that as soon as someone walks out the door, they're so much less likely to say yes. That percentage goes down every single day that goes by once they're gone because they're at their highest level of motivational, emotional buy-in when they're right there having just heard and seen the diagnosis. So we do want to do our best with getting as much of it on the schedule in the same day as possible. And so some of that's going to come back in here when we get down to like, what can you do? So without giving away too much, you want to schedule as much of a treatment plan, even if it's phased, as possible on the first day in which it's diagnosed.
So well said. That was brilliant. I loved it.
Great.
So, but that's the truth behind that, those metrics and why that's so important. So let's talk about how does this metric impact the practice?
Yeah. So this metric is great because it shows how much of your diagnosed care is turning into real actionable dentistry. A high diagnostic rate, it's going to help you to know like our patients saying yes, but not just in visits, in actual dollars that you can then measure into your gaps and your goals and your profitability. Because as we all know, production per visit can vary considerably. We've talked about that metric as well. And so if we are scheduling and diagnosing a larger amount, people are saying yes to a larger amount, it's going to equate to dollars in our schedule, not just visits. So that low dollar acceptance amount is generally going to signal that patients are saying yes to smaller portions of care, right? You might have recommended 3 crowns and a filling, and they're saying yes to the filling and leaving the crowns, you know, sitting on the table. And so by delaying or rejecting those more comprehensive treatment plans or not helping our patients to go ahead and establish those appointments right then and there, it's going to some degree, we've talked about this before too, like the patients are less likely to return. It's going to potentially result in way more significant aggressive issues for the patient, which then are going to be even more expensive and, you know, less conservative for them to address than if we just help them right now to see the value in what we're doing. So that low dollar acceptance is signaling that we're not really building a lot of value. Patients are saying yes, but likely to those smaller portions of care. Maybe they don't really see the value in the bigger picture. The high acceptance is going to mean that you are delivering bigger, more impactful cases. You're reducing that need for constantly filling the schedule with these little things that pop up, or like we mentioned last time, waiting for an emergency to become same day treatment. When you have that predictability for weeks and sometimes months ahead in these larger cases, it can be really a strong peace of mind for you as the provider to know that like you have that coming down the pipe.
Yeah. And you coach a lot of practices. So let's talk about like, when this is working well, what does it look like?
Yeah, when this is working well, you're focused on life outcomes, you're focused on smile confidence, you're focused on eating comfortably, your team is confident in presenting like that full value of the care, versus the treatment itself or the needs. When you're offering financing options, like it's going to be working well when you have ways for patients to navigate that investment, because we know that patients, a lot of them do struggle with figuring out how to take on these larger cases or phased cases. So if we have financing options or payment options available to them, they're going to feel more supported. They're going to feel better informed. The other thing it's going to let us know is, you know, we're looking at the big picture. I often use that analogy of like, we're not just looking at like the tree that's on fire that they walk through the door, but we're looking at the whole forest and helping them to see that like there's more things coming down the pipe and we can actually plan for these things, patient. I remember my mom one time say she switched to an office I was working at and she said, "Wait, so I don't have to wait to have a root canal to get a crown?" And I'm like, no, actually, in a lot of cases, if we could do the crown proactively, we can help you avoid the root canal.
Right.
But historically, she'd always been in a very reactive, you know, practice where it was like once she had pain, discomfort, or something broke, we went ahead and addressed it. And so she just thought it was really cool to see that like I could actually like make a game plan and avoid pain, breaking teeth, and root canals. Like, yes.
Yeah.
But if we make the assumption that the patient doesn't want that, all of that information, you know, we're really limiting their ability to make that decision for themselves.
Total.
And on the flip side, you know, if it's not going well, I would imagine your team probably isn't aligned on your philosophy of care. You know, you guys probably aren't aligned on being able to present care confidently, that big picture. Maybe we don't have time to provide that thorough examination that we really need in order to be able to see the big picture. I would imagine that cost discussions are rushed, perhaps even awkward. You might have people talking about the money and the investment on the front end up in your administrative area that aren't comfortable doing so. I hear it a lot, that tone of voice that's kind of like, I'm sorry, as I'm telling you how much things are going to be. And so that leaves patients leaving with that, like, give me a few days to think about it. Let me go home and think about it. Let me check my calendar because we haven't done our job of building the confidence in the recommendation and the outcome of how it's going to serve the patient.
Yeah, when patients say that, they're actually saying, "I just got to get out of here." So, and
Absolutely.
you can see when that's starting to happen. But let's say, you know, the coolest thing about these podcasts is we're not only we want to help you with what these are and what they mean to your practice when they're good and they're bad, but also give you some countermeasures, you know, things you can do right away. So, Miranda, let's say I'm listening to this. I already know this is not good in my practice. I'm a dentist. Like, what can I do now or this week to impact
Love
this?
it. So number one is don't hesitate on presenting the whole picture. I think one of the, I put this number one because one of the things that I see a lot as a coach is our own bias showing up in the way in which we treatment plan. So this does go back to that diagnosis piece a little bit too, of looking at the whole picture, even if you're breaking it into phases and allowing the patient to decide how much of this am I wanting to and willing to take on right now. If we show that full case, even if the patient chooses to start small, more often than not, people will open the door to say, like, I absolutely love that you're telling me all of this right now so that I can like budget and prepare and know where this is going. Letting the patient to decide how much and when do I want to do this. I know we always have to be careful. These are bite-sized. You and I go, you know, like stories. I used to, every time a patient was in my chair and they would get excited to tell me that they were going to be retiring, I would say, hey, have you thought about what dentistry might come your way during retirement? And they're like, absolutely not. They've never thought of that ever, right? But if we can help that patient to have an idea of what type of dentistry they're going to need in that 20 years that they're living off of retirement and make a plan for it now before they get strapped financially, they're really appreciative. And so now you're looking at like, hey, these people are much more likely to say yes to the three, four, five treatment options that are ahead of them right now and go ahead and be proactive towards some of that dentistry. Another thing to look at is going ahead when you present that full case, if they say yes to multiple options, schedule as many steps of it in advance as you can, not just step one. Again, that keeps them tethered to the process and tethered to the practice. If we just schedule the first crown today and just going, we'll talk, they said yes to the whole thing, but we'll talk about that next crown next time. Guess what? Something might have happened between now and then. And now that value is lower for the patient because it's been 3 months and that money has gone by the wayside because they spent it on the cruise that their neighbor asked them to go on with them instead. So if we can go ahead and pre-schedule as many steps of this as possible, and what does that look like? We're going to schedule that crown. And then when we're delivering that crown, we're going to go ahead and prep the next one. And when we're delivering that one, we're going to go ahead and do those two fillings on the same side where we're seating that, right? So building as much of that in advance into the schedule as we possibly can, not just step one.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of it, when we're talking about just the diagnostic value build itself is using photography, you know, making sure the patient really sees for themselves what that outcome is going to be, because that's where the value comes into play. You have to present the value before the price tag. So if they can see it for themselves, you and I use the analogy of like car repair things all the time. You know, if they come out and say like, you also need your rotors changed, that's different than them showing me my rotor that's completely worn down and rusted out and falling apart. I don't know what a rotor is, so I don't know if it actually rusts down
either.
And falls apart. But, but right, if we can see it for ourselves, we're going to be a lot more trusting and say like, yeah, I probably should do that before I'm broken down on the side of the road. So using visuals, helping build that value, and then just go for it and let them decide for themselves how much of this are they wanting to go ahead and proceed with right now.
Yeah, love it. It reminds me of the third, way back in the day when I started doing this and dental coaching, the third client I ever worked with, Dr. Frank Graziano, shout out to Tuckahoe, New York. I remember standing on the front steps of his practice. He's like, I like you and I want you to help me, but don't you dare walk into this practice that I've worked so hard for and tell me I need to find crowns or do all that. These are my friends that I work on. And you're going to see my practice, I finish patients. And let me explain what that means. I love them. I learn about them. I find out what's important in that every one of my patients has a plan. It's their plan. And we're always working to complete the plan. Now, that was important for me because like everybody was working towards something. He wasn't just trying to find enough dentistry to achieve a goal or finish a week or something like that. It's just a better way of thinking.
Yeah. Wouldn't you rather help? I always say that my patients were always my friends. Wouldn't I rather help my friends be healthy, prevent more aggressive, uncomfortable things that might occur with their health by letting them know now, like what's there and what's coming and letting them decide. And then one last thing that just popped in my mind that should have been on here to begin with is use your consult room.
Yes.
Like that's a huge one when it comes to the dollar amount acceptance. When you use your consult room, people say yes to more. I just got off with a client today and they were talking about they've started staying. The office manager is the husband of the dentist and they present the treatment in the consult room and they've started putting them right at the end of the day so that if it runs long, it doesn't impact everyone else in the practice. And the amount of acceptance that they have had on their large cases by shifting to the consult room and having undivided time to allow for questions and connection and conversation around the treatment, it's really changed considerably the dollar amount acceptance in their practice, which is great.
Yeah, it's amazing. In 31 years, all the floor plans I've looked at and the number of them that don't have, I'm like, where's the consult room? Well, I don't have room for, I'm like, you don't have room not to have a consult room. It's the most important room that you have. And they'll have
Absolutely.
a big office, big lab, but no consult room. I'm like, what are you thinking? So, and I realize not everyone can have them, but like, if you can, please do. Love what you said. So,
yeah.
All right.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got? You and I could talk for hours, but our goal is to
we could come up with more, but.
No. We have direct instructions to keep these short, simple, and to the point. So stick around while I say goodbye to everybody else, but thank you guys for listening. Hey, listen, I know it's Monday and you're just trying to get through maybe today or whatever, but I want you to go back and take a look at these metrics. I promise you, they make a big impact on your practice. Keep showing up for Metric Mondays. We're going to give you bite-sized pieces of information. Share them with your team. If you know, you just don't learn all this on your own, bring everybody else on this journey. And if you need more help, with your practice, because running a practice is not easy. It's actually kind of difficult. Here's what we do. If you don't know what we do, we only do three things. You can do it on your own, you can do it in a group, or we can do it with you. Number one, you can come and join us in the BPA. If you go back to the Apple Store, Google Play Store, you can search Best Practices Association. You can join it for free. It's a free app. And then you can upgrade for more features, more training, more tools, more everything. And you're going to love it. There's a great community back there. You can also join us in the group, which is our To the Top Study Club. We do them quarterly, and you're going to be in a room with other entrepreneurs. Dentistry is very lonely. Being an entrepreneur is difficult. Don't try to do this on your own. We have amazing resources, and you can come for free the first time. And if you don't like it, you don't have to stay. But I know that won't happen. And lastly, if you've tried everything, we can help you do it. And that's our pro coaching program. So we are here to help you. We want to be a helpful organization and help you create a better practice and better life. So make sure you utilize some of those resources. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. I hope you enjoy your Monday. Have a great day, everybody. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.